We're here. We're back.
We are back, but we are not complete. Welcome, everyone.
Tragedy.
Three truths and a slide.
Calamity.
I'm one of your co-hosts, Aaron Schaefer. And through the magic of sending internet files, I am here with Kristen Froberg. How are you, Kristen?
I'm good, but that was a rough journey through the vortex, I would say, for us. Not everything, in Battlestar Galactica terms, not everything made the jump, did it, Aaron?
My cargo shorts were unzipped in the pockets, and my notes flew out. So, regrettably, we don't have the intros we recorded for this episode.
And probably someone on another world who shouldn't have the plans to make an A-bomb probably does have plans to make an A-bomb. Because did you happen to have some very heavy, noticeable notes that fell out of your pocket that then you didn't?
I keep them in my blueprints. And
what an episode that was.
So, sorry to say, folks, we don't have a list of three truths and a slide for you, but I can tell you from firsthand account that Kristen got the slide. She called it. I am regrettably empty-handed. So,
but we're here. We're doing the pod. Should we let them know what the pod is? Or?
Oh, of course.
We can still do that. We can still do that.
I almost lost my manners. So
they almost got lost in the vortex. Not your fault. The vortex comes for us all.
It's the new smoke monster. We talk about the TV show Sliders. It came on, started in the mid-90s, ended in the year 2000. And it prominently features Jerry O'Connell, who I don't know if we love talking about him or his hair more.
Both, and I think. It's the acting, it's the charisma, it's everything.
Yeah, everything's in place. And we do it through three truths and a lie, where I tell Kristen three truths and a lie about the upcoming episode, and she tries to guess where the truth is sliding. So, but our next episode that we're talking about is season 2, episode 5, El Cid. And one fun fact to note about El Cid, and the fun fact is probably me just being thick-headed, I did not realize it was, what's the word where you switch around the letters of a word? What's that called?
It's not an anagram.
Is it anagram? Is that the word?
A palindrome is when it's the same backwards and forwards, and an anagram is when it's just rearranged, I think.
Mm. Okay, so El Cid is just an anagram of slide. And
oop.
There is a guy whose name is Cid in this episode, but it's really heavy-handed. Like, no one calls him El Cid. Like, that's not...
Not a soul. But we will talk about that man, or more specifically, the actor who played that man.
That man. He is a walking rich text. Spoiler alert.
Walking. See what you did there.
should we just summon the vortex and see what's up with Cid on the other side?
Yeah, we're gonna summon it. I'm gonna keep a very close hold on Isis here. We're gonna catch you on the flip slide. We'll do it. We're gonna persevere. Woo.
All right, we're back. I don't know if my dignity is still intact with losing the intro, but we will soldier on.
I think we're going to crush it anyway.
So, Kristen, quick world recap. San Francisco is a giant prison. And yep. This movie is like a Venn diagram between Escape from New York, Mad Max, and Demolition Man.
Oh, I've seen 2 out of 3 of those.
Just like with all things, well, since you've seen this, you might as well have seen all three.
Okay.
And just like with all things, it's about the details. And by the way, lots of lies and trickery, and who can you trust and who can you not trust.
Very much so.
A lot of double agents in this episode. So things kick off in a very Mad Max world. We got multiple trash can car fires.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a Mel Gibson stunt double running around. So, Kristen, at what point when this scene was taking place, did you, did you have strong feelings before or after he shouted, "Don't make me lose my temper in the warehouse"?
Let's see. So what was the sequence of events? Like, a woman is running, and then they're kind of like watching from the sidelines, and the professor is doing his don't get involved thing, you know. At what point do we see his face clearly?
I think it's when he crests through the, like, is it like a tin door, some sort of barn door situation?
Yeah. I mean, I admit I had not been paying it. If they showed his name on the opening credits, which I'm sure that they did, I just hadn't been looking at the screen at that moment, but I paused and said, "Is that Jeffrey Dean Morgan I see?" And then I went to the IMDb's and the Wikipedia's, and yes, it was Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And I knew spiritually that it was him, because I was like, obviously this guy is terrible, but the inherent sociopathic likability that is coursing through it, because by all accounts in life, I'm a fan of Jeffrey Dean Morgan here on the I can't speak for my co-host, but
I can't name a single thing he's been in. I'm ignorant entirely.
Well, I didn't know until today that he was in Supernatural, but he played an incredibly important role on Grey's Anatomy, which I will get to, but I think most people probably know him from Supernatural and or Walking Dead and or Watchmen. I haven't seen him in Supernatural, but I know it. A lot of times he plays someone who is an awful person, but is deeply charismatic and also very layered. He's really, really good at doing it. And so it was I was like, of course, this is one of his first roles. Of course it is. This character is significantly less. Oh, Isis, the cat just bodily launched herself in the midst of my little recording studio, but we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. Okay. I think I was just I was rambling about this man, and then we had tech issues for 20 minutes. He's really good at playing bad dudes, but still being somehow very charismatic and likable. This one that we see in the episode is perhaps the least likable bad dude I've ever seen of him, but I was still excited to see. Just very enjoyable Twitter presence and actor. That's disrespectful. He's a good actor first, but I just think he's funny on Twitter. It's Jeffrey Dean Morgan, folks. Well, the girl looked familiar as well. I don't think there was anyone else I recognized too much in this episode.
Well, one thing that he's very good at is hand-to-hand combat. Jerry finally met his match.
Finally.
And this dude cleaned house with Jerry, and then Rembrandt swoops in, manhandles him, but who's treated like the hero in the episode?
I mean, the professor thinks it should be him, but
that's a fair point. Jerry keeps getting praised of like, oh, that he's a stand-up guy and did the right thing. But like, Rembrandt is the one who truly handled the situation.
Yeah. And it's there was a lot going on, and it was called "I'm Tired. I Like Jeffrey Dean Morgan. This was made in the 90s. I don't think we're going to see these characters again. I don't even want to talk that much about, like, I mean, they acknowledge, obviously, he looks like he's about to kill this woman, and then the professor is like, well, we gotta go, and Jerry and Rembrandt and Wade are like, are you serious? But then, like, the professor keeps bringing up their folly, and then when they eventually start talking about it with the girlfriend who reminded me of Georgia from Ally McBeal, but I don't think it's Georgia from Ally McBeal. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff that I don't know if you'll agree would be like not that much fun to talk about in the episode, but San Francisco is a giant prison that looks better to live than most actual places. That's some good stuff.
So they slide out of this trash can Mad Max world, and El Cid slides right behind them.
And yeah, not Courtney Thorne-Smith comes with, because they're like, what are they? She's like, he's going to kill me. And then so she jumps through, and then. No, and this is what I'm talking about with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. The way he calls her name is very like he's a better actor than the material here. Jeffrey Dean Morgan fan club. But yeah, so he and that girl come in after them, and it's a mess. And the professor's like, we're going to break the vortex the way that Aaron and I broke the vortex today. Yeah.
So there's an exponential risk of each time there's more mass that goes through the vortex, the chances are higher that no one will make it out alive.
Right.
And so in this new clean world that's secretly, by the way, they bury the lead on a lot of plot points, on San Francisco being an earthquake, San Francisco being a large prison, and there's also like this doomsday earthquake that's coming, and it's like a variant of Escape from New York type of a thing.
Which everyone watch that movie, because it's peak Kurt Russell, early's Kurt Russell, and there's like a limo that someone has attached like chandeliers on it for like headlights, and just that's really good. That's a reason enough of right there why you should watch that film. I would say cinema.
Yeah.
And I will be talking more about cinema later in this episode. But yeah, it's very apocalyptic, but yeah, you said buried the lead on a lot of stuff, and I'm glad you said it, because I was like, am I just not with it? Or I mean, the answer is no, but like in this case, it wasn't just that.
And so they meet a friend who wants to help them, but he's kind of shifty.
Friend who wants to help them, in emphasized air quotes.
And so the way he helps them is he gets them bracelets with LED lights, and turns out, so then, by the way, and then they end up in a fancy lobby where Jerry is choked out again, and then they learn about the buddy system, where so they have to wear these bracelets. Or Kristen, do you want to break down the buddy system?
This was a very why is anyone doing anything sort of episode. I don't know if the rules of this world make sense if you think about them like super hard, but
yeah. So I'm glad you said that. So for the buddy system, the pairings are Professor and Rembrandt are right. One pair, and then it's ladies.
And that is the team you want to be on, gotta say.
that's the mellow team. And then there's Ladies Night Out, so that's Wade and Blondie. And then the third team is El Cid and Jerry. And Jerry's like, oh, great. And so then their system is this LED bracelet that they can easily slip on and off their wrist.
And, with ease! And briskness, swiftness, ease.
And everyone's in long sleeve shirts. No one's in a short sleeve shirt in this entire episode. And
nope, not a tank in sight, truly. Not a tank top in sight.
And this was just before the time where like cut off sleeveless shirts were a big thing in the 90s. This was just before that cultural moment. And then like, so if your bracelet goes off, all you have to do is have your sleeve cover it. There's no GPS tracking. They didn't include that technology in here. It's that
simple.
And also
it's like kind of loud, but we have established that sounds don't matter in sliders, or they work differently. One of the two things, possibly both.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because, by the way, talk about a cinema moment. Jerry evading a sniper shot during an earthquake, like Kristen, like, if there was ever an excuse to have a shaky cam earthquake shot,
I had to lie down. It was incredible.
It's through a sniper scope while going after Jerry. And, oh, Kristen, like that. I mean, it's not as good as wine glass dropping. And what was the other strong cinema moment in the show? I can't think off the top of my head.
It's
There's
so
many.
Good. We blacked out and forgot it.
I put this
think
in
of
like
the moment
top
that
10
you
moments.
First saw the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. It's on that level.
And then they're walking around the prison / San Francisco, and some dude, like, this whole like Oz light scene that goes down with a guy throwing a knife and like trying to haze or like Shawshank Redemption, the new hey fish, get me the knife.
It's very don't start none won't be none. This guy, and he also looks familiar. I want to see who this actor is. I mean, I guess not enough to have actually looked it up. Paused and looked up Jeffrey Dean. That's what I did. But everyone else, I was like, you're looking familiar.
So
why was he? Why did he?
Yeah, I don't know if this is like a strong or a soft move on Knife Bromance's part, because he only has the one knife. And he throws it and he's like, give me back my knife. And they're like, no. And then he stands up and it's clear he doesn't have any other weapons. And I'm like, what? What is this?
I will be very honest with you. I enjoyed watching Jeffrey Dean make the most of what he was given. I enjoyed watching Jerry do what he do. I enjoyed watching Rembrandt truly save the day, even if he didn't get the credit he was owed. This was another just vibes episode for me.
Well, so there were a lot of vibes during the ATM heist. So like, who is this guy who hears all of this commotion? He's there alone under a spotlight in the middle of the night at the ATM, and he doesn't just leave.
Like, oh, and we also got from like day to night, like really fast, and not in a like excellent transitional wardrobe kind of way. Like, the sky was bright and then it was very dark. And also golf carts, like, there's a lot here. There's a lot here, but not in a let's unpack it way for me, more in a like, yeah, that sure was some stuff that happened. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But
So then we meet the head guard, who has this cane that has a duck's head on the top. And I'm like, is this like a deeper meaning, or was this just the first cane in the prop department's closet? Like, what is this?
Well, we know everything's intentional because this is the same as Mad Men. But yeah, I was waiting for you to tell me if the duck cane was like of significance, and then it was not, like, apparently. If you're asking, I'm going to say it's not.
Is the deeper meaning, is this like a flash forward to how Jerry needs to duck when the sniper's bearing down on him?
Wow. Maybe.
And then we find out that Blondie's been carrying heat this whole time. So this whole time, she's been getting like verbally abused and I don't know, like pushed around and held and whatever. And
like physically abused too. Like his character is violently abusing this woman, and I'm going to go ahead and look her up just because I want to be able to say her name and the actress's name. Sliders L. Sid cast, because there was more than one person here who looked. Oh, Tracy Torme is in the episode.
Wait, Tracy Torme is in the episode?
Tracy Torme played.
No.
Oh, no. I think this was just pulling up people that, like, worked on it.
Oh,
no,
yeah. I don't think he was ever in front of the camera. By the way, Tracy Torme, co-creator of Sliders, along with Robert Kreis.
Yeah. Funny that on IMDb, everyone has their character name, and then Cleavant is listed as Rembrandt Crying Man Brown. Rebecca Chambers plays Michelle. So I'm gonna quit calling her not Georgia from Ellie McBeal, because that is not deeply respectful to. I don't want the app. Come on, it's not deeply respectful to either of them. And there's not like very much of a resemblance, except there was a certain like blonde short lady haircut of the era. I'm gonna keep calling Jeffrey Dean Morgan, but I will try to call the other guest star Michelle. You didn't need any of that, but there it is.
So they then decide to go to the they follow the guy into the BART to go into the underground train tracks.
And oh yeah, because this guy, they immediately meet a guy who seems to want to help them, but and who Michelle and Jeffrey Dean Morgan recognize from their world, but he's like a different version of this guy. And at some point Michelle's like, just so you know, we could not trust this guy on our world.
And by the way, shout out to the Sliders prop department. Did you catch a glimpse of the sign that they passed as they went into the BART?
No.
So this is a direct quote. Entering this condemned area is not a good idea.
Oh my gosh. I want that. Can I have that? I want to get that. Yes. I could make use of that. That's a very good prop. Props to the props people, as always.
And so on the train tracks, Jerry is clearly the symbol of the beacon of hope for all men and women. And then they come upon Boxtown, USA, which at the center of the action is, we see again, Knife Bro Manson. And then they find out that their buddy, Betrayal, and he has them force over the timer. But they can't make it work out. So Mullet with a gun demands, is the Jerry or the professor or someone to do it for them. And then it's a showdown. There's a gun that goes to Slade's head. Jerry steps up. And right as things get super heated, the cops come and break up the party. And thankfully, our heroes are able to duck behind cardboard boxes to protect them from bullets.
No place safer than behind a cardboard box. And so, it's like the Winterfell Crypts or that place at Hogwarts. Nowhere safer.
Or the fridge from Atomic Blast in Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Big and, Helms Deep energy here. Anyway.
And so thankfully the cops are not behind them, so they're able to run out the other way of the tunnel. But then when they again open the door with the sign of entering the area was not a good idea, there are the cops ready and waiting for them. And who's there amongst the cops who they thought that they got rid of during the ATM heist?
Who can it be now? Oh, wait, is that a copyright?
No.
I have to cut that out.
I think we're good. From a legal point of view, but our heroes are not good because it is none other than El Cid, who
there he is.
Is not in handcuffs, is somehow pseudo leading, like he has become like second in command of the guards unofficially. And
there, yeah, okay. There's this movie, it was like two movies at one, it was like Grindhouse/Death Proof or something, like Robert Rodriguez. Not really my style, but I did like the moment in one where it's like this guy, do you know what I'm talking about, where they're like fighting zombies or something, and then there's an intentional cut, like the film was lost, and then it when it picks back up again, this guy is just like leading the charge. It was like, this feels like that.
That's a good reference. Yeah, is it Planet Terror? Is that the Robert Rodriguez movie?
Yeah, because it was Grindhouse and it was like Death Proof and Planet Terror, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But does Robert Rodriguez have any Sliders influence? Watch this space. I will be Googling it.
and then they're in a prison cell. And then the whole, like, if you thought that the meaning and message of this episode was confusing before, then you are really, if you thought it was clear before, then you are in for a world of trouble, because the professor starts like lecturing Jerry. I'm like, what message are they trying to send? And then there was like that thread point of abusive relationships that they kind of close the book on, but it's weird. And then, so
it was very, I don't know if this is the, it was very, I don't think either the pod or the episode is really the space to get into this, but stay blessed, you know,
but controversy noted. And, And
the point was that if you could just live in a world where all men are Jerry O'Connell, which, like, I'm not arguing, but
you know what? If that's the point of the episode, we can all be on board actually, with that.
Yeah, yeah. Although, let's not forget, it was actually Rembrandt that had the achievement. Rembrandt doesn't have a lot of to do here except bounce off the professor, look concerned, and be the professor's kind of like pet sidekick of the week, although it's never really Wade. He's always telling Wade to simmer down. I think he didn't think much of Rembrandt at first, but he seems to have decided that Rembrandt's the only one who can be reasoned with, and it's very like, listen, we got to talk to these other jokers about the way it's going to be. Rembrandt's outfits have improved this season, I believe. Just noting. Mm. Rembrandt coat watch going well.
And so our heroes, the head guard, the guard with the duck cane comes in. He threatens to execute them unless someone tells him how the slide, the timer works. Because
it's clearly something you could just explain.
And the professor betrays them. And the betrayal is to show how to push a button. But then the professor does a double cross and he tricks them and he makes it back to the cell door, which he opens without keys. And Sid, who he left tied up, breaks free. There's more hand-to-hand combat. And I don't know if this is like selective amnesia, but I did not write who won. Did he pummel Jerry again and didn't like Rembrandt come to Jerry's defense again?
I honestly blacked out until they were all trying to get through the vortex. And to be clear, I watched this whole episode twice.
And I was so stressed out because that gate was open so like,
it was open for so long. There's no consistency. This is one of my favorite things. The gate is open however long it needs to be open.
If this was I'm sorry. Go.
The gate, I'm sorry. I say this a lot. The gate is giving me a we here for you. It's just, it's present. It's always there. Waystar Royko. Sorry, I miss Succession, but no, the gate plays by its own rules. It it's intuitive. You know what, Aaron? It's also no clear rules, just vibes. That's when the portals open.
And is this the first episode where it fades to black on not an entirely like hopeful note, and you're you're left like I don't even know what's next. Like this whole show could end right now. I have no idea, because right after the gate closes. Oh, actually, before that. So Sid gets shot. After he gets shot, she kisses him. And then
he gets shot by her. Let's be clear. He says true. She won't do it. And then he calls her an expletive, says she won't do it. Then she does it. Then she kisses him as he dies. And I will give you, what do you think? Should I give a prop? Because I was about to give a prop. I fully thought that they were going to have her just decide to stay here and die with him after she shot him for no reason.
Oh, like a Romeo and Juliet situation?
Yeah. They did have her go on through the portal. So I was like, hey, they let her live. Only her, but...
yeah.
But and, yeah, she went on through with Wade.
After she jumps through, it's like a very, like, almost like Twilight Zone type of a moment where then the earthquake starts shaking violently and fade to black.
And I think we're supposed to care about this, but there was nobody likable on this whole world. So,
yeah. Like, I know. I was like, I don't know what message they're sending with this, because you're right. We don't care about anyone. We were writing off this whole area to begin with, and it was like, okay, all right, so be it.
Yeah, but in terms of, because it's, I do want to be mindful of like, hey, no, people like the show, like, did you have a good time? So what did we like about the episode? As always, we like the energy. I liked many of the outfits, great gowns, beautiful gowns. I will also be circling back to that later.
I mean, there is the character development of Jerry losing hand-to-hand combat 3 times.
Ooh, yeah. Watch that. There's really say that.
There's the prop department entering this condemned area is not a good idea.
I always like to see Rembrandt being taken seriously. And I mean that absolutely. So there's, I like that. Mm. I wish he'd had more to do, but like he wasn't, sometimes they make a joke of him in ways that I really don't like, but always wish he had more to do. But yeah, Professor really like, listen, we got to straighten the others out.
Yeah, this episode, it feels like the sum of it is less than the parts. Cause I'm like, I don't feel like Rembrandt did much. Slade just went to group therapy that went nowhere. Jerry got beat up and the professor didn't do anything. And so when I sit back, I'm like, wait, what actually happened in this episode? Nobody did anything, yet somehow the episode happened.
Well, what happened is that sliding made a difference because the moment Jeffrey Dean Morgan came on that screen.
Right on. Anything else that we need to cover?
No, that's whenever you would like me to get to it, I will speak on how sliding made a difference for me, but I don't want to rush it. We do things very organically here at Three Truths in a Slide.
Well, I mean, one thing that definitely is organic is metal wheels on a metal rail that slide a barn door open, and you walk into a Zen garden of a hipster wedding. If you've ever had that feeling, then you understand just how much sliding made a difference.
Whew. So I spoke on the man, the myth, the legend before, which I mean, he's a man and the other things don't really apply because he's a beloved character actor. Sliding made a difference as we witnessed one of the early appearances of the great Jeffrey Dean Morgan, noted disturbingly likable sociopath in most of his roles. But I would like to think that without this specific episode, we would not have gotten his earth-shattering role on Grey's Anatomy, in which nurse Katherine Heigl, Izzy Stevens, falls in love with his character over the course of how many meetings? Who can say? It is not relevant. Do they hang out outside the hospital? We don't know. It's not relevant. Do they talk about literally anything that you would want to know about before you marry a person? No. Once again, not relevant. They fall in love. I forget what exactly is wrong with his heart, but it's not working right. He is not where you'd want him to be on the transplant list, but then he's going to die. So she like cuts his, I forget what she does. She doesn't exactly yank a cord out of the wall, but she like, in a stunningly unethical move, but it's Grey's Anatomy, so like, get it, girl. She like cuts his wire and he's like about to flatline or something. So then he goes to the top of the donor list and then they do the operation and then he gets the heart and then he proposes and then promptly dies. Right after he does, she is weeping on the bed next to him, Izzy Stevens, Katherine Heigl, in a voluminous pink gown, beautiful gown, as the Chasing Cars song by Snow Patrol plays, one of the songs that is a meme of Grey's Anatomy, and then Alex Karev picks her up and carries her away, and later both of these actors, Alex and Izzy, they go on to get written off the show in a way that's clear that, I don't know what all they did to Shonda Rhimes, but, she is passed out next to this man, weeping, in a prom dress, monologuing as absolutely every doctor in the whole hospital looks on and is like, girl, you know, we need to kind of get it moving. No, no, no. Let her monologue. Let her speak. As the If I Just Lay Here song plays. I am making fun of it now. If you're wondering if I was sobbing at the moment, I absolutely was. Yes. Cinema. Television. Film. It's one of the top 10 moments of TV I remember watching for the first time, and I don't think we would have had it without Sliders. I know I went long, but I'm sorry, friends. Watch that on YouTube. You don't need to like watch the CD. Just watch it on YouTube. Sliding made a difference.
Well, the wires of stress that I had earlier have been cut. I'm very centered right now, Kristen. Thank you. Thank you for
at
that.
At peace, but in a different way than Denny Duquette Jr.'s at peace.
Thank you for that moment of cinema. All right. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. I think at the time of this recording, we have officially zero followers of Twitter. And I am planning, and we also have zero posts, to be fair. I will be doing my first post on Twitter sometime this week. And we look forward to our first follower. So
I have collected images to put on Instagram soon. I've probably mentioned it before. I think about it regularly. One time, Aaron, I was walking downtown in the Pearl District of the city in which I live, and these people were attempting to walk their two cats, and both cats were just laid out on the sidewalk in absolute abject protest. harnesses on their adorable little furry bodies. These cats simply would not be moving. And when I'm trying to get myself to post on the social media, you know, sometimes I am those cats, but we're working on it. Every day learning and growing. We're going to get there. We're also on the Facebook, you know, I don't know who's on the Facebook, but we are, we're there.
I logged into Facebook, sometime this year was it this year or last year? No, I logged in last year to create, the thing for Facebook. Not sure if I logged in this year. So that
we're
shows
really,
you.
We're really active on social media. Do watch that space. I'm on Instagram a little bit more. If you have any meme requests, I will hit me up. I will actually always fulfill a meme request. I love memes. But we're a little bit rocky this week, but we're going to slide back on in. We're going to make it happen.
Yes, that is our...
something. Anything. Post it doesn't something. Need to be of substance. Although Jeffrey Dean Morgan posts things of substance. Seriously, check him out. Love that guy.
Right on. Cool.
Paid for by the Jeffrey Dean Morgan fan club. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
The foundation of the Jeffrey Dean Morgan fan club.
The Denny Duquette Memorial Clinic. Sorry. Actually, I do advocate going back and watching early seasons of Grey's Anatomy. You could probably stop when you get to like 4. True story, I never watched it, and then it's not a good story, but it's a true story. I was like visiting with a roommate or something in college, and her family was like, great to have you for Thanksgiving, just so you know, we will be watching the Grey's Anatomy tonight. So, you know, and I was prepared to just go do something else, but I sat down to be friendly and personable. And it opened with Sandra Oh running down a hall covered in blood as an evocative song played. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. I'm in. And again, I don't think, you know, the whole show of Grey's Anatomy probably just doesn't even exist without Sliders. I can't explain why, but as we've discussed, probably nothing that came after Sliders exists without Sliders. So, even if I don't always remember to say it, sliding made a difference. It always makes a difference.
So much culture slides out of Sliders. Wait, what was the name of his character in Grey's Anatomy again?
Denny Duquette Jr.
Devaney Duquette?
Denny Duquette Jr.
It's sponsored by the Denny Duquette Foundation.
Yeah, no, and he had... Okay, and I forget why he has, like, so much money. Aaron, he has a lot of money. So he leaves it to her when he dies. And she's really just there in the prom dress saying, an hour ago he was proposing. And like, I'm laughing, but she did deliver the line well. But he had like some huge amount of money for reasons. I can't remember. But she did then use it to build the Denny Duquette Memorial Clinic, which is for people who can't go to the regular hospital. I can't remember. And I also don't remember where they like resuscitated a deer, but that happened at some point. The early seasons of the show are good. Go watch them. Thinking about that deer forever in my heart, that deer.
The Denny Duquette Memorial Clinic resuscitates a deer.
No, that might have been at the main hospital. I will look it up and let you know.
I love the crossing of those wires. I love it. You can't get enough.
Crossing of those wires, just like she crossed his wires and then cut them. This is now a Grey's Anatomy pod. So.
Oh, Kristen, that was amazing. But what's more amazing is, Kristen, when can people catch another episode of Three Truths and a Slide?
When, where, as always, we will catch you on the flip slide.